We're privileged of God to read again from His Word, and now from the book of Psalms, Psalm 91. Psalm 91. Our text will also be in this psalm, especially the fourth verse, under the theme, Sheltered Under His Feathers. But let's read the whole psalm. Hear the word of the Lord. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that wastes at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold, and see the reward of the wicked. Because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because He has set His love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He will call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. So far the word of the Lord. Verse 4, He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. A great song to sing after the sermon is Psalter 31, stanzas 3, 4, and 7, based on Psalm 17. 31, 3, 4, and 7, as you have it on the board. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Your congregation belonging to Christ, the aim of this morning's sermon, based on Psalm 91, and especially verse 4, is simply to urge you and myself to rest in the Lord, to rest in Him and His keeping and His care for us. To rest in God's leading and guidance and governing of our lives in all the future. Also, as we pass from one year to the next, with every detail of life and death. Is that what you like too and what you desire? To rest in the Lord as the years go by? How that can help us live in Christian peace and witness to others? Also concerning the wonder and the blessing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and knowing the Savior and trusting Him in everything and with all that happens in each of our lives. Whenever I come to Psalm 91 in my readings, I always remember someone in my former congregation in Chilliwack asking me once, Pastor, do you know the Bible's 911 verse? I said, 911 verse? Yes, responded that person, Psalm 91:1. He that dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Well, I thought that was a pretty neat way, really, to treasure this verse and this psalm, Psalm 91. And a few years later, it all came back to me with so much more force when the events of September 11, 2001 took place. You remember at 9/11 event, when the terrorists took over those jets and crashed into the Twin Towers of New York City, causing the death of more than 3,000 people and bringing an emergency situation really across the whole globe, and especially here in this western part of the world. That tragic event, you know, is called still today the 9/11 catastrophe of the 21st century. So many years later now, isn't it true? How troublesome, how chaotic is our whole world. Things haven't got better, and what needs and cares we all can have in life. Yes, also you here. Don't you have needs and cares in life? Even some of you have had things happen to you this past year you never imagined would come to you in your life. Where can anyone find true safekeeping and everlasting security and real comfort in life, come what may? Any day, anywhere, from whoever or whatever. Will we find it in the political systems of the day? Hardly. No, the answer for real comfort and guidance in life is found in the scriptures, also in our reading of Psalm 91, even from its opening verse, the 9/11 verse. John Calvin writes about Psalm 91 that it's one of the finest in the whole collection of Psalms. This psalm, he says, shows and tells so powerfully that when the Lord is our refuge, our trust and confidence, how secure and safe you and I may be, both now and forevermore. Quoting Calvin, "Men generally seek out a great variety of hiding places," he says, "which threaten to overtake them. But here in Psalm 91, we are taught the only safe and impregnable fortress to which we may betake ourselves, and it's the protection of God. So numerous," he says, "are the dangers which surround us that we could not stand a single moment if His eye did not watch over our preservation. But the true security for a happy life lies in being persuaded that we are under divine government." It's important to remember, he says, that those whom God has taken under His care are in the state of most absolute safety. End of quote. Calvin wrote that, experiencing many dangers and troubles in his life too. And right from the start, this psalm gives us a beautiful label of who God is. Help us have confidence in Him. You know how He's described in Psalm 91 at least twice? As the Most High God. The Most High. Someone said, the use of "Most High" for God cuts every threat down to size. When the Most High God is for us, who can be against us? Well, the whole psalm brings this out, doesn't it? In line after line, verse after verse, the security and comfort we may have with the Lord when we look to Him, trust in Him. But what I want to focus with you on is just verse 4 of this precious psalm. Speaking about God's care and keeping of His people, we read there these amazing words. "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall you trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." The theme for this sermon is, as mentioned also in the bulletin, sheltered under His feathers. And I have 4 main points under our theme. What a tender picture here. What an amazing picture. What an inviting picture. And what an encouraging picture. First then, how tender this picture is. Being covered under His feathers. Just thinking about the term feathers here, I couldn't help but think of another reference to God as our security and strength in life, where He's pictured as a rock. I gave this quote, this text even to someone this week. "When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I." And when you think of rock, you think of strong, safe, foundational, sure security and hiding place for us. But now, notice here this other image from the world of nature. The Bible uses many images from the world of nature to have us understand God and the gospel. This other image now, about trusting Him and the security found with Him. He shall cover you with His feathers. A feather is so light, isn't it? And we all understand what's meant here with this little phrase, He shall cover you with His feathers. I think we understand it. Even the children will understand it. Here God gives us a picture of a hen or some other bird, and we think of the parent bird spreading its wings over the young ones to cherish and protect them. You can picture it in your mind, can't you? And the image is not just of protection either, but under God's wings, as it were, reflects a picture of being protected by God, so close to Him. Nice and warm, right beside Him. And coming under His feathers suggests the idea of being nestled right near to His heart. I read that. Under the feathers, under the wings of a bird, is the softest, warmest place of a bird. And being nestled under God's feathers, as it were, means being nestled, brought close to the heart of God. Feeling His heartbeat of love and care and warmness for His own. Isn't that like saying something like this? You know, on a wintry day, being in your warm house, not only in your warm house, but sitting by your fireplace, with logs on the fireplace, burning brightly, giving off warmth and heat. And maybe you have a blanket over your legs and a cup of hot chocolate in your hands. That's kind of the picture here. Not just under His wings, under His feathers. Notice the text doesn't just speak of being under God's wings, but it adds this finer detail of being under His feathers. And then notice, since wings and feathers, as Matthew Henry puts it, though spread with great tenderness, are yet weak and easily broken through, there is added in the text, so fittingly, His truth shall be your shield and your buckler in almighty defense of His own. You see, God is so willing to guard His people as the hen is to guard his chickens, and as able as a man of war in armor. Putting it all together, don't you find it too just so stirring? So tender? If you think of God's infinite majesty and glory, what is this that He stoops down to our level to reveal Himself as to who He is and what He will be for His people, as many as trust and follow Him? God Almighty is infinitely glorious and holy. And He doesn't hesitate to compare Himself here even to a hen or other birds which spread their wings over their young ones in love and protection over them. How striking in Matthew 23, verse 37. Jesus, when here on earth, He also gives this picture of God's care and love for sinners in and through Him. We read there Jesus saying in those most moving words of His, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, but ye would not." Oh, dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, here in Corinth, in Monarch, as those trusting and following Jesus as your only Savior and Lord, being one of God's children by grace through faith in Him, do you see and hear how much the Lord cares for you and me, and how forever safe and secure we are, belonging to Him? What a tender picture Psalm 91, verse 4 gives us about God towards His people. He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be your shield and buckler. Listen to how one preacher, maybe you can guess who this preacher was long ago, how this one preacher was so moved by this verse, especially also this part about feathers and wings.
A wonderful expression, he says. Had it been invented by an uninspired man, it would have verged upon blasphemy. For who should dare to apply such words to the infinite Jehovah? But as he himself authorized, yea, directed the language of the text, says this preacher, we have here a transcendent condescension. Beautiful expression. A transcendent condescension, such as it becomes us to admire and adore. Does the Lord speak of his feathers as though he likened himself to a bird? Who will not see herein, says this preacher, a matchless love, a divine tenderness, which should both woo and win our confidence? Even as a hen covers her chickens, so does the Lord protect the souls, the people who dwell in him, who come to him. Let us cower down, let us huddle up, we would say, beneath him for comfort and safety. Hawks in the sky and snares in the field are equally harmless when we nestle so near to the Lord. End of quote. That was Spurgeon, by the way. Isn't that beautiful and stirring? This tender picture our text gives us, sheltered under his feathers. It makes me think of that song, you know, we sang as we began the service this morning. This is what God's people so delight in, and what is their refuge and strength in life's journey, with all the dangers and temptations and struggles and sorrows and ups and downs in life. My Savior, neath thy sheltering wings, my soul delights to dwell. Still closer to thy side I press, for near thee all is well. My soul shall conquer every foe upholden by thy hand. Thy people shall rejoice in God. Thy saints in glory stand. When you are a Christian, isn't that your testimony? And your prayer? And your praise? Also as the years go by. The tender picture is a gospel picture, really. Telling us, you see, God will so be there for his people. And the whole psalm preaches to us, doesn't it? To trust in the Lord, to trust in him completely, and always, come what may, in life's journey until our last breath. Did you know the Lord knows how slow we can be to trust him? So he's given us the sacraments to help us. We can say sacraments are like God saying, come under my wings, come under my feathers. And you know, afflictions and trials that God sends our way, maybe that you went through, maybe even last week, they're not meant by God to shoo you away, but to have you come, under his feathers, under his wings. He will lead you there. He will draw you there. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. We read in Psalm 34, verse 8. We all deserve to be shooed away after another year. For who of us has lived as we ought to have this past year? Have not all of us sinned so grievously many a time in our thoughts, words, and deeds, even as confessing Christians? But God is merciful. He says, come to me. Come for refuge. Come under my wings. Yes, even under my feathers. Oh, what a stirring, tender picture. Shelter under his feathers. Will you today come for refuge under the Lord, under his wings, under his feathers? Sheltered under his feathers. This is not only such a tender picture, but don't you agree with me? It's an amazing picture too. Our next point. I mean, think of it here. Who are we before God, you and me? Not only are we creatures of the dust before him, but by nature we are all sinners and sinful. How can the holy God have any dealings with us, let alone come close to us and invite us to come so close to him, to be under his precious, warm-hearted protection and care and keeping in all our ways? How is that possible? Well, you know, don't you? God himself made a way. We thought about it, didn't we, just a couple of days ago.
In the fullness of time, He sent His Son, the promised Savior, whom He promised the day Adam and Eve fell, to come and to redeem sinners and to renew sinners like us and to bring full pardon for sin and complete reconciliation with God. Jesus Christ, the sent of the Father, He came, didn't He, to make full payment for sin. And in and through Him, sinners like us who trust Him may yet appear before God, washed whiter than snow and clothed with garments of perfect righteousness, even the righteousness of Christ Himself, put to our account. Jesus is the God-sent, Spirit-anointed, Spirit-equipped Savior of sinners. And through His death and resurrection, for sinners like us, we may find complete acceptance with God, salvation from God, reconciliation with God. Ephesians 2:17, through Christ, we, both Jew and Gentile, have access by one Spirit to the Father. For He, God, has made Christ His Son to be sin for us, He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. These and such like texts are saying, Jesus made it possible. He is the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by Him, but all come to the Father through Him who trust and follow Him. And Jesus is the only Savior for sinners like us. Yes, also still, as 2015 ends and 2016 begins, He remains the only name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved if saved we will be. For Jesus' sake, in and through Him then, we may by grace, through faith, this is the gospel, come close to God. So very close that we may be, as it were, coming under His wings, yet covered under His feathers. And you know this Old Testament expression is just not from nowhere, but it's an Old Testament expression, under His wings, likely related to the two cherubim, you know, whose wings were over the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies, over that mercy seat on which the blood would be sprinkled, by which God would open the way for sinners like us to appear before God. We come under God's wings and grace and care and keeping initially and continually for as long as life lasts, only, always, through Christ, the Savior of sinners and His shed blood on sinners' behalf. And it's an amazing gospel. It really is. And what makes it so amazing, especially, is the fact that when Jesus was here on earth, giving His life a ransom for many, then He was left all alone to suffer and to die as sin bearer. Yes, think of this now. There were no sheltering wings for the Savior, God's own beloved Son, for Him to hide under when hanging on the cross, and when the full measure of God's eternal wrath for sin was poured out upon Him. We know He was on the cross, mostly naked, in the darkness, and behold, the Lamb of God, suffering on the hill of Calvary in the darkness at midday, with the unleashing of God's divine judgments and the torrents of temptation from Satan and the awful ridicule and scorn of so many heaped upon Him, and no sheltering wings for Jesus to hide under. No, none. But He was left forsaken, even of God His Father, as He paid the full punishment for sin, as the just for the unjust, that He might bring sinners like us to God. One person wrote about this, no sheltering wings for the Savior, in this poem. Blessed Jesus, in your sorrow, friends and kindred passed you by. You alone could never borrow the support of sympathy. When your human heart was bursting, when your parched lips were thirsting, when encompassed with the foe, mocking at your bitter woe, you who had a heart for all, drank alone your cup of gall.
Oh, when you think of this, dear congregation belonging to Christ, isn't the expression of Psalm 91 verse 4 as to whom God triune will be for us, for His people who look to Him, just so amazing? I mean, that God would so give up His own Son, His beloved Son, for to save sinners like us, rebel sinners, guilty sinners like us. And that Jesus would still have to suffer and die for to save His people from their sins. Isn't it just so astonishing? Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Amazing grace. What Jesus all went through to make atonement for sin and to make room with God even close to His heart for you and for me. Trusting Him, sheltered under His wings, and covered under His feathers, so to speak. Oh, what a tender picture here, and what an amazing picture. Do you find it amazing too? Won't every true and healthy Christian find this picture to be always so tender, and indeed always so amazing? And shouldn't we be so very alarmed when that's not the case? When that's not the case, maybe for you as a Christian too. If you just take it for granted, in other words, that you may be coming under His wings, and that you may be under His feathers, so to speak, you just take that for granted as if, well, that's normal. Well, then you know what? You are forgetting the gospel truths about your sin and misery by nature, and you're forgetting God is a holy and a righteous God. And you're forgetting about Jesus Christ having been crucified for to save sinners like us. Take care as the years go by. I say this to myself too. Not to lose amazement with the gospel. And not to lose your first love and awe for the gospel, the simple gospel, as time goes on. But let it grow and deepen more and more to you how it's endlessly astonishing the love and the provision of God for sinners like us in and through His Son, Jesus Christ, the crucified and risen Redeemer. You know, when people lose their first love, it often begins with no longer appreciating Christ and Him crucified as we ought to. Don't let that happen. As the years go by, you think less and less of what Christ has come to do. But let it be that you think more and more of the wonder of the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how it should be in God's people's lives. What if, however, you are here this morning sitting in church and you're one who doesn't really care for the gospel at all? You're here, but it's not because your mind and heart is really interested in these things. That could be. You continue hardened in sin, maybe, and you love this world, and you're not converted to God, and you're still unregenerate and unsaved, even though you've had a whole year again of gospel preaching here in this church. Well, that leads me to our next point about how inviting this picture surely is too. Psalm 91 verse 4. How inviting. It's inviting to God's people to come to the Savior and to keep coming to Him and to make no delay. But it's also very inviting to strangers to grace, to those who are still living in the blindness of sin and in love for this world. The whole Psalm 91, we read it together, it mentions many plagues and troubles and evils that come upon the wicked and unbelieving. What judgments from God will fall upon all evildoers and all the unconverted of this world. And then think of it, to have no refuge, no safe hiding place, no covering under God's wings of love. Who then shall stand? Yes, think this through. To have no escape. When God's wrath is swept over a land and comes upon any person, it's terrible. It is terrifying beyond words. The Bible says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?
as made known to us in the Gospel, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto them by them that heard Him. When Jesus spoke in lament to the people of Jerusalem, saying, "How oft would I have gathered your children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not?" Then He goes on to say, in awful judgment, you know the words, I think, "Behold, your house is left to you desolate." Speaking to the unbelieving Jews, you see, in His day. And it's true, beloved. If you're not under God's wings, and the judgment of God falls upon you, what's your hope? Think of the people in Noah's day. Having no escape from the worldwide flood that covered the earth when God came upon with His wrath upon the people who continued in unbelief and wickedness before Him. Think of the residents of Sodom and Gomorrah, likewise, having no escape from that firestorm that came from heaven and consumed those godless, wicked cities and all the people remaining in it, without exception. Peter tells us in 2 Peter about so many scorning and putting off the day of God's wrath. But will you do so too? Anyone here? Younger or older? You mean you won't hear the gospel call, the 911, the 911 escape number from God that is still in service? But who knows how much longer? Why not listen to the gospel message? Consider how the God who made you and whom you rebel against is calling to you, sincerely calling to you even now, to come to Him. He delights in mercy, our God. And He earnestly calls to you, everyone here, also you who are so indifferent now still, so uncaring, so hardened and blind in your sin, maybe so distracted and disinterested, because you're so focused on the world and the flesh and what Satan offers. Oh, what will you do when calamity comes? When suddenly death comes, as it can? When you face God face to face, it's appointed unto all men to die. And after this, the judgment, the Bible says. There is no question that's going to happen to each one of us. Yes, to you too. To me, one day. Who knows how soon now, even. The Lord still now, however, freely offers pardon and peace to you and to me. He offers you a place, listen, a place under His wings, a place of covering under His feathers. Whoever you are, whoever you may be, whatever you have done, whatever you need, come to Him. You must come to Him. You need to repent of your sins and call upon Him to save also a sinner like yourself. Notice how the text chapter very much emphasizes this truth clearly. Whom will God shelter under His wings and cover under His feathers? Those who call upon God, verse 15 says. Those who know My name. Those who have set, He who has set His love upon Me. We read in verse 14. It is those who have made the Lord their refuge and the Most High their hiding place or their habitation, their dwelling place, according to verse 9, to whom the promises apply in this psalm. Indeed, it is those, according to verse 1, who dwell in the secret place of the Most High. Verse 2, those who say of the Lord, "He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust." But if you won't do that, if you won't speak and serve the Lord, but you keep pushing Him away, how terrible. God doesn't shoo us away, but we'll shoo Him away. But you keep doing that, well then you know, need to know, then the promises of true and everlasting deliverance from all evil and from Satan and from death and from hell, those promises won't be yours. But instead, then you will experience the wrath of God if you should so live and die. You will not escape God's wrath then, but instead you will be swallowed up in the eternal abyss of hell.
left desolate, indeed, abandoned forever.
Proverbs 29 verse 1 has a very good text here to remember. He that being often reproved hardens his neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Imagine that. Without remedy.
Oh, don't let that be your case. But hear Christ calling even this morning. Won't you each and all hear calling so graciously? Psalm 91 is written not only to comfort God's people ever so much, but also to awaken the unsaved to come unto the Lord while it's yet the day of grace.
All the plagues and pestilences mentioned in Psalm 91 are not just empty words. They are what will happen to all unbelievers in the final day. We are living in evil days, aren't we? We are living in post 9/11 times, and there's so much calamity and terrorism and trouble and sorrow and evil all around us. How many, again, I say, also here, have met the things in life this past year that you never dreamed you would meet with? Trials and burdens, which are great, which are heavy. Will you take heed to the tender and amazing and inviting picture of our text, telling how God triune is Savior God, so out there for us, for His people, even for all who repent of sin and trust and follow Him. To see further the great blessing of doing so, and to draw you to do so. Notice yet our fourth point, namely how encouraging this picture is of our text. How encouraging. How is it encouraging? Well, look at how in this whole psalm, God promises and pledges His sure protection for His people, doesn't He? In all their needs and ways. Will God ever not be there for His people when you're under His wings, sheltered under His feathers? No, God pledges to be there for us. And He pledges also to bring us to His eternal home in the world to come. When you go through the psalm, you see it speaks of divine protection, divine provision, divine promise, and divine provision also for the enemies, that they no longer harass us in the long run. God is so there for His people. No, we do not understand the psalm rightly when we think, well, that means God is saying here that when you are His, you'll never have any troubles. That's not true. We know, in fact, God's people suffer much in this life. Sometimes a year can go by and we say, wow, what did we all go through? Maybe you've had a year like that. And it seems sometimes God's people suffer just as much as the wicked and the unbelieving. And sometimes it might seem like God's people suffer more even. And the same calamities come upon them as upon the wicked. Yes, that's what it may seem like. But the reality is, isn't it? For God's people, while there may be and still is hurt in trials and tribulation, there is not harm, but overall good coming out of it all by God's providence. And while there may be much pain in sorrows and setbacks and afflictions, yet there is also this all-encompassing, overwhelming comfort, sure and steadfast, which carries God's people through triumphantly, even sometimes through the greatest trials in life. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but God delivers out of them all. Psalm 34:19. Declares. And while there is death, yes, to death, for the believer in Christ, sheltered under God's wings, covered under His feathers, that sting of death is removed. So that instead of it being a judgment of God and a punishment for sin, it becomes rather an abolishing of sin and a passageway to glory. It's not that way for unbelievers. Their death becomes the beginning of eternal death and woe. You know, if you add up all the promises of God for God's people under God's wings, for this life already, then and think of the life to come. It's so very encouraging. And so we read in Psalm 36, the psalmist saying, "How excellent is your loving kindness, O God. Therefore the children of men put their trust under the shadow of your wings. They shall be abundantly satisfied." Yes, regardless what we go through, because we have God with us. God for us. The last verse of Psalm 91 speaks of long life being given God's people. Which we need to understand doesn't mean necessarily living to an old age always. Sometimes God takes His people away at a young age. But it does mean this, living a full life to God's praise and glory. A person may die young and yet die full of days. And let us never forget, a person living to a high age but without God, he or she is left without hope and without help forevermore. I was so struck by a quote from Calvin on this song where he says, quote, "Longevity is never to be compared with eternity. Longevity is never to be compared with eternity." Oh, that we all would remember this. What Psalm 91 declares, with many delightful details, is how absolutely safe and eternally secure are all God's people belonging to Jesus and ever following after Him. While how hopelessly lost and forever condemned to hell are all the wicked and unbelieving. "The hope of the righteous shall be gladness," we read in Proverbs 10:28. "But the expectation of the wicked shall perish." Pastor Dibbitt said it well at Ryan DeGroote's funeral this past week. "For the righteous, there's sunrise with no sunset. Ever. For the unrighteous, there's sunset with no sunrise. Ever." God's people are more than conquerors in all their ways, sheltered under God's wings and covered under His feathers. And that's because, you know, the Lord loves His own with an everlasting love. And He cares for His own in this life. And He will carry us and lead us through death to bring us to His eternal home in the world to come. In that place where there will be no more pain, no more suffering, no more sin, no more death, no more sorrow, no more disappointment ever again. Anytime, anywhere. "The salvation of God," says Calvin, "extends far beyond the narrow boundary of our earthly existence. And it is to this, whether we live or come to die, that we should principally look," he says. Indeed. And the message this morning is given that we by the Lord may so be led and come under His wings, indeed, under His feathers. May the services today be blessed of God, bringing soul refreshment to all who are trusting and following the Lord. And may it fill with spirit work, jealousy and longing, those who are yet unsaved and not converted, to come to Jesus now while it's yet the day of grace. I pray too that hearing of sheltering under the Lord's wings and even under His feathers, that it may help us and enthuse us who confess to be Christians to testify of Him, to witness of Him to others. I mean, what a God to serve. What a God to follow. What a God to trust. Let's speak of Him. Let's tell of Him while it's yet the day of grace. Let's be light in this world of darkness. I mean, shouldn't this tender, amazing, inviting, and encouraging picture of our text so profit us and guide us, you and me? Does it and will it profit you too, so that you stay with another Christian under His wings? Oh, what precious enjoyment. "There will I hide till life's trials are o'er. Sheltered, protected, no evil can harm me. Resting in Jesus, I'm safe forevermore. Under His wings, yes, under His feathers, who from His love can sever? Under His wings, my soul shall abide, safely abide forever." So, Lord, bless Your word by Your Holy Spirit, thinking of sheltered under your feathers. Amen. Psalter 31, let's sing in response.